Last Sunday morning, the song leader, when we sang that particular part of our service, said, "Those who are young enough can stand up for the song." But I see you didn't do that this week, Tim. I was the first one up, by the way. It's almost like preaching to a different church. All of our members are somewhere else, and most of our people here today are from somewhere else, but we're glad to have you. I think the Smith family deserves a medal. They brought all their family, I guess. They just kept streaming in from, their Christmas celebration. We've enjoyed having Caroline, our granddaughter, who grew up in this church, with us this week. And we're especially happy to have as our guest today, Mary, who was with us from the very beginning when we started here. She and her husband and their daughter, Suzanne, and her husband, Stephen. We're glad to have you all with us. Well, next Tuesday, we will rip the last page of this year out of the calendar. We cannot live any day of 2019, even if we wanted to. We might have anniversaries to mark certain things that happened on those days, but we cannot relive a single day of the past. You know, time is like a stream that keeps flowing by, and we mark it in segments of years. I personally do not like these calendars that have 18 months to them. I mean, a year is long enough. 12 months and it ought to be over with. But the real truth is that the echoes from the days that we spent in 2019 will be heard in this coming year and possibly beyond, because life is an echo. Jesus' teaching reflects the truth that life is an echo. He said, "Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same manner you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Life is an echo. "Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." Life is an echo. "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." Life is an echo. That life is an echo makes this teaching very attractive. "In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." Because in a sense, life, that which goes around, we sometimes say, comes around. There seems to be a natural law that life echoes itself in future experiences. That the echoes of our lives come to us in the form of consequences. And while we cannot relive what we've done, we bear those consequences. Life evens out, we sometimes say, in deference to this principle. Sometimes we use the statement, "You have to pay the piper," as an expression of this natural law. And some people, of course, talk about karma. That involves the consequences of what we do today. Another way of describing this truth that I want to emphasize this morning is reaping and sowing. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And the reason why that is true is because life is an echo. Because life is an echo, what we do may benefit others in the future. And that's what keeps many of us very active in our daily lives. The promise came to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing." You know, Abraham lived a long time and he never saw the fulfillment of that promise. Nonetheless, he did things to make that promise come true in the future. As the Apostle Paul wrote about Abraham, he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now, it would be ridiculous for us to think of ourselves in terms of Abraham, but we can think of ourselves in our own way of saying we can be a blessing for the future by the echoes of our lives that we are living now. We have to leave a spiritual heritage to our children and our grandchildren. I think that's what most of us are most concerned about. What we do today is a spiritual heritage that we hope to leave behind us, that our children and our grandchildren will understand and will follow. One of the greatest blessings that we have promised in the book of Revelation is this statement that says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." That's what keeps us going. Their deeds follow them. That means the echoes of their lives resound even after they're dead and gone, and they're resting in their graves. The echo of their lives is still influencing others. That's a much grander thought than that which Shakespeare puts into the mouth of Mark Antony when he came to bury Caesar. Remember, in high school you had to learn the oration of Mark Antony after Julius Caesar had been assassinated. And Mark Antony begins by saying, "I have not come to praise Caesar, but to bury him." And in the midst of that, this sobering thought is expressed. The good that men do often dies with them. The evil that they do lives after their grave. We hope to reverse that. We hope that the good that we do will survive our lives. And so that's why we are earnest daily that we might leave that heritage. I think of Timothy's mother and grandmother. As Paul writes in 2 Timothy, "I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did." You see, the echoes of their lives, of his ancestors, still lived in the Apostle Paul. He could go back and look through his ancestry, and they were all faithful to God. And he said, "I am being faithful to God. And the God whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience as night and day, I remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Can you see the echo of their lives, of grandmother and mother and Timothy, all expressing this truth? And so what we do may benefit others in the future. We may, hopefully, we will be able to instill in them the heritage of faith. Because life is an echo, what we do may have unintended consequences. That's a sobering thought. We may assert that what we do is nobody's business. We may assert that how we act and what we believe is nobody else's business, that we are only responsible for our choices and behavior. We may say that we are free to live however we wish, and it is nobody else's concern. That may be true, but be warned. You do not control the echoes of that conduct or those beliefs and the effect of those beliefs on others in their time. that this is expressed in the Old Testament numerous times. In Lamentations, it says, "Our fathers sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment." The echoes of our lives may have unintended consequences. Ezekiel the prophet said, "Our fathers have eaten sour grapes, and their children's teeth are set on edge." You may think that what you do or what you believe are only within the province of your own life, and forget that your life is an echo, and others may be affected by them, because our lives have unintended consequences. What we do today in any day may be visited upon us in the future, ourselves. In the book of Proverbs says, "A kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself." And Proverbs 17:13, "If a man pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his house." I think of David and Bathsheba in the sin that they committed, and in the sin that David arranged for the murder of her husband. He was paying back evil for good, a man that had fought battles to protect David, and David had him killed. And the proverb says, evil will never leave his house. And you think of all the tragedy that David suffered in the lives of his children, and you see that proverb is true, because there is an echo about our lives. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and will not be answered. The story of Jacob and Laban, his father-in-law, illustrate this so well. The story of Jacob is a wonderful story in many ways, because it tells of the redemption of Jacob. Because when we see him as a young man, he is anything but what we would admire. He lies to his father, Isaac. He deceives his father, Isaac. He cheats his brother out of what was rightfully belonging to his brother. And he is the deceiver. You know, anybody who lies to his old father because his father is blind and elderly, you just cannot have any respect for that person. Well, Jacob flees, and he falls in love with the daughter of a man named Haman in the country from which his mother had come. But Haman turned around and deceived Jacob, as Jacob had deceived others. Jacob fell in love with the daughter Rachel, and Haman made a bargain, said, "You work for me for so many years, and I'll give you Rachel in marriage." And then the night of the marriage, he substituted his older daughter Leah for Rachel. Jacob continued to work with Haman for the future promise of Rachel. And in that time, he finally complained that his father-in-law had cheated him and deceived him so many times in the years they were together. Well, we read that and we think the chickens have only come home to roost. Think about what Jacob did to his own father and brother. And then you understand why life turns that way, and he himself is deceived and cheated by someone that he trusted. What we do today may be visited upon us in the future in a tragic way. Hosea said, "We have sown the wind, but we have reaped the whirlwind. Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." Life is an echo. Because life is an echo, what we do today may benefit ourselves in the future. That's an enjoyable thought. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Matthew 5:7. He who is kind to the Lord lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Proverbs 22 says, a generous man will himself be blessed. And so we sow today a kindness. We sow today mercy. And we sow today love. And in return, in the future, the echoes of our acts come back to us in positive ways. In the story of the book of Esther, Mordecai, the uncle or relative of Esther who arranged for her to become the queen of Persia, Mordecai uncovered a plot that was made to overthrow the king and to assassinate the king. And he, through Esther, warned the king of this plot, and it was uncovered. Mordecai was not rewarded for that the day that he did it, or soon afterwards, but many years later, when Haman, the Persian that wanted to exterminate all the Jews, had arranged for the Jews to be assassinated and had deceived the king into signing such a decree, and Esther had gone in to tell the king of what Haman had desired to do, the king was troubled. And in his troubled sleep, he had the annals of the king read back to him in this old story of this Jew named Mordecai, who had saved his life many, many years earlier, was read to him. And he said, what did I ever do to reward that man? They said, you didn't do anything. And finally, at the very time when Mordecai and the rest of the Jews needed it the most, the king rewards Mordecai. And it leads to the death of the man who hated the Jews. And so the Jewish people today still celebrate the Feast of Purim, which is best based on the story of Esther in the Old Testament. A generous man will himself be blessed. It may be immediately, it may not be immediately. One thing I know, and that I believe with all my heart, I'm laying up treasure in heaven, and I know that there will be a reward because life is an echo. We are about to complete the days of this year. The echoes of those days past will follow us into 2020 and beyond. As we fill the days of another year, let us remember that life is an echo. And if you want more love, give more love. If you want more kindness, give more kindness. If you want more understanding, give more understanding. And if you want more forgiveness, forgive others for their sins against you. There is an echo of what you do in your life.
Please be seated for a moment. Since this is our last meeting for this calendar year, I wanted to share a couple of words with you. First of all, the ministry here at Broadway could never happen without the faithful service of so many people. From those who teach, to those who clean and care for the building, to those who set up coffee, those who lead worship. All of the ministry work you do is important to us all. First and last, to the Lord. Only in Him, through Him, by Him, and with Him, could we ever have done all the good things that have happened at Broadway. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you all, members. I want to thank every member of Broadway Church of Christ, both the present and past members. Thank you for your love, your prayers, and your courage. We want to say thank you to every volunteer who's arranged flowers, who's prepared food, taught children, visited the sick, cared for the lonely, and so many, many other things that you as a body of believers have done. We thank you deeply and sincerely for every minute you've given to the Lord and to His church. Finally, I want to do something a little dangerous. I want to single out some specific volunteers. Even though it's a little dangerous because some will be left out, Believe me, it's because of my age. I forgot you. This is dangerous because I will, I'm sure, hurt someone's feelings. Someone will say I worked just as hard as that person and was never mentioned. If you are that someone, let me say this. God knows and recognizes everything that you have done. And we do thank you so very much for your work here at Broadway. I feel that these few deserve special recognition for their efforts, though. I considered many people for this list, but I felt the need to limit it. Should I fail to mention you by name, it's just an oversight on my part. Please know that you're important to this congregation, and I do not intend to make you feel any other way here. Let me begin by thanking Armando. Where are you, Armando? And Duncan. Raise your hand. Thank you for your contributions for the congregation and the many things that you do, for being available and willing to help where needed, anytime, any place. Many thanks to those of you who are always ready to step up and step in when and where you may be needed. Many thanks to Lupe. Where's Lupe? To Lupe and to Eddie, her son. For their efforts in maintaining the building and assisting Eddie, especially for assisting BJ during service by holding the Bible and the songbook for her during the entire service. It's a service he renders that does not go unnoticed. So when you talk to him, Lupe, tell him we said thank you. Thank you to Joan Merton. Where's Joan? And her sister's group who contact each other, ladies of the church here who live alone. Contact each other every morning to make sure everything's okay. That is truly a blessing that you ladies have taken upon yourself. So God bless you for that effort. Thank you to all of our teachers for their dedication to studying and sharing God's word with others. A special thank you to Ms. Velma Williams, she's not here today, and the members of the Tuesday Ladies Bible Class. For all the things they do in service to this congregation, may God continue to bless you in all of your efforts, ladies. Many thanks to the church trustees for providing leadership, dedicated service, and direction to Broadway. On a special note, for Joe and Mikey, the bulwarks of Broadway, Joe and Mikey. Thank you so very much for your service and your stewardship of Broadway and for the many things that you do for us that go unnoticed by us as to who did it. But usually if it's a really good thing, we know either Mikey or Joe did it. Your tireless efforts and love of service to the Lord and members of Broadway is truly the engine that allows us to continue to do the Lord's work here at Broadway. Finally, I'd like to honor and recognize our loving, selfless, inspirational, and blessed minister, Alan Isabel. Thank you, Alan. Alan, your sacrificial love, leadership, and care inspires us all to strive to be better representatives of Christ on earth. And for that, we truly say thank you, Alan. Now let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Precious Lord, thank you for the Broadway Church of Christ and all of our houses of worship. May we always speak the words and do the deeds that are pleasing to you. Please bless our humble efforts to do your will, share your word and your love with all we may encounter. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. We are now dismissed, folks.